We have a note card. I want to get into today's message. If you want one of these, just raise your hand and we will get that to you. And as you look at it, let me cast some vision today. This is a message that will give you a vision of how you can follow Jesus. I'm seeing it as a vision of how I can follow him. I want to get into the lane, not only a challenge to you, but if you are parents, a challenge and an encouragement to you as you raise your kids to know and serve Jesus. So it's a vision for them. I've been thinking about Jonathan's words, Pastor Jonathan. He said, the language of the Holy Spirit, it comes to us in that of dreams and vision. So I want to cast a vision today, a picture. And I want us to see ourselves in this picture, number one, of a personal faith. Number two, a confident faith. And number three, a missional faith. Our culture is challenging as never before the things that we believe, and I'm not shrinking back in fear, because by design, God has us here and has us here now. And that means he's going to empower us with everything we need to live life victoriously. Our very nature as Christians puts us in the category of influencers. We are the salt of the world. We're the light that's influential. And so we're not just on defense, we're on offense, making a difference, shining this light so other people can come to know Jesus. Because our faith, it's not a church faith, it's not a religion, it's a personal faith in the living Lord, Jesus Christ. We're confident in who he is and who we are in him. And come on, we're on mission to influence other people to come to know him. So I want to get into these three, and along the way, you can write some strategies down. When it comes to personal faith, as I've said, the climate in this culture makes it very interesting, because now as a Christian, you're in the minority. And so you have to have a personal faith. This can't be a faith that you have just because you were raised in it. It has to be personal. Where you have believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth, where you've submitted yourself to Jesus, and that you are following Jesus because of the work of grace in your life and the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, a personal faith. And for the parents and the grandparents in the room, I am praying, and I have a vision that kids at an earlier age than ever before will walk in personal faith. When I was 11, when I was 15, I was not thinking about my biblical worldview. It never crossed my mind. I did love Jesus. I was a Christian. But even my friends and everybody that was in my world that didn't follow Jesus, they still didn't question the Bible. The Bible was still the moral authority, whether people believed it or not. But that day's over. Now the Bible is not valued, it's undermined, it is challenged, it is even placed as part of the problem in society, and it's narrow and naive and bigoted. And so I don't see this as something to back up about. I see this as an opportunity for our kids, with our help, to forge a real world faith at the earliest age, maybe ever. Because we're going to have some conversation. We're going to have to work through some things that confront them every day. And so this is an opportunity for them to hold those conversations with you and come to some clarity and have that walk with Jesus that is so powerful and so personal. What you believe about God is of highest value. What your kids believe about God, this determines what we believe to be right and wrong. All mental health in a healthy society, it flows from this question: what do you believe about God? So believing that for you and for our next generation, And I love watching this next generation passionate for Jesus. Doesn't it make you proud to see these young men and women loving Jesus? It does. And this is what I'm talking about. That this, they're not game playing. This is a personal faith in Jesus Christ, where they are constructing that strong biblical worldview, because their faith is not from out here in, it's from the inside out. Thank you, Lord. Just a couple of strategies. If you're trying to influence other people to have that personal faith, then be passionate for His presence. Keep turning yourself to the presence of God. Keep turning your family to the presence of God. Let your heart, let your home be a place of the presence of Jesus, where naturally it gets supernatural. Where in just authentic prayer or times of worship in your home, the presence of God settles in a very powerful, grace-gripping way on the hearts of your kids. And when it's authentic, here's what we find, that the number one reason that kids would follow the faith of their parents is because they saw in their parents a faith that was real to their parents. So important. 2 Samuel chapter 2 or 2 Samuel 6 verse 11 is about Obed-Edom and how at his house was the Ark of the Covenant, which was the presence of God in the Old Testament. David was preparing, then King David, to get the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. He wanted the presence of God there. But while he was preparing to reverently, carefully bring it home, the presence of God was at the house of Obed-Edom. And it says that as the presence of the Lord was there, the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Christianity is not apart from reason. It is not reason, but it's not less. It's not intellectual, but it's not less. So there's a place we engage our minds, but we allow the presence of God to inspire the truth of God to change our hearts. Passionate for His presence. This means the blessing of God was on the home of Obed-Edom every day, just in the routine of life. Capture that vision of the blessing of God on your home. Be reminded that in Exodus 33, Moses was told by God, "Now you and the people, you can go forward and possess the land. You're going to live in homes that you didn't build. You will harvest from crops that you did not plant." The Lord said, "I'm going to send an angel before you to drive out all the enemies." And it lists the enemies one after the other. But God said, "I'm not going. I'll send an angel. You'll have all this provision, but I'm not going." And Moses said, "If you're not going, don't send us." Moses is saying, you can drive out every enemy, give us homes, give us provision. But if we don't have your presence, then all these other things, as great as they are, it won't work. God, we have to have your presence. Make His presence your passion. Maybe take note of this. This lets everybody who's watching you know that you need Him, depend on Him, and trust Him. As your kids watch you express your need of Jesus, your dependence on Jesus, your trust in Jesus, over time, that marks them with a certain concept of God and Jesus. A.W. Tozer says, what comes into your mind, to the mind of your kids when they think about God, is the most important thing about them. Let's mark them with the concept of God that speaks, that's real, that's present, that's not distant and silent, but present, powerful, influential, who interacts with us by the Holy Spirit. Some strategies. Consider having communion as a family. You can do this. And when you have communion, it brings you into personal examination, and it welcomes the presence of Jesus. Think about even like monthly or however God would inspire you, but have communion. Like, what would bring the presence of God into your home? Number two, a confident faith. Think about Daniel. Daniel taken from his home, taken from everything that he knew, taken from his family, placed in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar had this agenda to turn Daniel into a cultural Babylonian. Nebuchadnezzar's agenda was to shape him, his thoughts, and his actions. But you know the story. Daniel was not changed by Babylon. Daniel was the change agent. Now, he was a young man when he was taken to Babylon. Think about the confident faith that he had. I want to meet his parents when I get to heaven. And those that were around him that invested in his life. And that's the vision that I have for you. That's the vision I want you to have for your kids. That you would nurture to the extent that you can a confident faith. This is where we have those conversations about what's confronting them. About what the Bible says about who they are. Let me just break this down this way. I think if you study Daniel, you'll see that he understood who he was. Number one, made in the image of God. Obviously, there were relationships that had deposited in him wisdom. And he understood that he was called. There was a calling. Image. I want you to know that you are made in the image of God. You are a miracle. You wouldn't be here but for the miraculous power of God. If you ever just give consideration to how someone is born and how all that happens, it is like one in 10 and a half million to the 850th power. Like, you won. You are a miracle. You're here by design. You're made in the image of God. And when you know that and you raise your kids to know that, that develops a confidence in who they are in God. And in a culture of confusion, they live and lead from clarity. They live and lead in a confidence in who God made them. Praise God. There is this relational influence that we see in the life of Daniel. These kids, they can get all of the information they want at the touch of a button. But it's going to take people for them to get wisdom, to speak the wisdom of God. I remember as a kid sitting in what we called Sunday school, small group, learning the Bible. And this great man in my church, not on staff, just a man that loved Jesus that served as a teacher. He was teaching about Noah and the ark. And I was taken. This boat, I remember saying it was 3 football fields long. Think of that. And it had never rained. And Noah is preaching that it's going to rain. And he was talking about Noah standing for God, but I was just taken by the boat, the boat. How you build a boat like that? And that teacher said, as you grow up, it won't be so important that you know how Noah built that boat as it is that you learn how Noah trusted God to do what God called him to do. And that stays with me. I remember that. He spoke into my life, those relationships. Let me do calling and then we'll strategize. In Paul's last letter, his last words, which means they're going to carry weight. He says this to Timothy. And as I read it, this idea of a confident faith, notice how it comes out of these verses. For this reason, I remind you, fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid. I say that over everyone in this room. The Spirit God gave you does not make you timid, but confident. Because He gives power, love, and self-discipline. There's a vision. Don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, His prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He saved us. He called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of His own purpose and grace. God called you by His purpose, by His grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. I'm doing right now what God called me to do before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death, has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Preach, Paul. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald, an apostle, a teacher. This is why I'm suffering as I am. Yet, this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed. And I'm convinced that He is able to guard what I've entrusted to Him until that day. When you heard from me, keep as the pattern, what you heard from me, keep that as the pattern of sound teaching. Keep that, he's saying, as your biblical worldview. And you do that, Timothy, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. You walk in faith because it's true. You walk in love because people need to know. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. The deeper Daniel was taken into a Babylonian culture, that pressure intensified. But there was something greater on the inside of Daniel that was an offset to the pressure on the outside. Hey, Pastor David, pitch me one of those little water bottles right there. Yeah, that one. Just no, don't leave it. Yeah, just thank you. Remember Pastor Jonathan, he took one of the, see, I'm squeezing this as hard as I can. If it didn't have anything on the inside, I could just collapse it. But because of what is on the inside is greater, it's an off. That's the vision for every one of us. I know who I am in God. People are speaking into my life, wisdom. And I'm walking in the call of God. That is a confident faith. Come on, put praise right there. Thank you, Jesus. Some strategy. Here's number one. Put the strategy up if you will. So if you make His presence your passion, here would be number two. Faithfully attend a disciple-making church. If you're new, we welcome you here. We would love for this to be that church that you faithfully attend. Faithfully attend. If you don't do number one, as in have a passion for the presence of Jesus, if it's not real with you and authentic, you're not perfect, none of us are, but you are sincere in your love for Jesus and to grow as a disciple. If you don't have that in your life, but you try to be faithful to church, your kids will interpret that as religion. But if you are passionate for the presence of God and then you faithfully attend a disciple-making church, then the power is going to come together to influence their lives in a profound way. Again, what's the way? Image, relationship, and calling. As you bring them into a context like this faithfully, there will be godly men and women that God will use to speak wisdom, to model, and to teach. And we all need that. How many of us can say, I was shaped by the words of a godly man, a godly woman that gave time to speak into my life? Put them here. And I would appeal to parents to focus in, faithfully attend. And that has got to be placed before us. I would appeal to you to have a zero tolerance policy when it comes to missing church. Will there be times it's just impossible? Absolutely. But if this is just occasional, then over time it will communicate to your kids that church is a hobby and following Jesus is one of convenience. And when church is just occasional and we follow Jesus only when it's convenient, it will not mark their heart with a deep-seated conviction that Jesus is worthy of it all. So we're not being religious because you're making his presence your passion. Then when you come here, it's just the outflow of who you are. And we get to do this. We get to come together. I'm sorry for anybody who missed the worship experience that God has already given us today. Because it lifted it. It made a difference. Thank you for considering that this culture wants to privatize our faith. Won't you just show up when you can? Listen, as I just sit down and honestly evaluate people that are living for God, I see that there were hearts and homes where the presence of the Lord was honored and wanted, and coming to church was a priority. I'm so thankful for my home that was a place where the presence of the Lord was central, and going to the church and going to church was not an option. My parents said it to me like this: when we come in to get you up for school every day, you never say, I would say, I don't want to go today, but I know I was just wasting those words because I was going. And just like you're going to get up and go to church, to school, you don't ever need to waste the words, I don't want to go to church. Mom and Dad, you bring your kids to church. As they get older, there will be at some point, they may want to opt out. Don't give them that option. They will say things like this: but I don't have any friends. Come to me. Come to Pastor Nate. Let's go to work. Let's build relationships. But opting out, not doing it. We're in it. We're fighting for their faith. We're going after God in our home. And we're going to go to a church where there will be relationships built, where there will be an investment of wisdom, and they can start discovering the call of God. Amen. 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 Missional faith. So thankful. The Bible shows us clearly that Christianity, it's not a retreat Christianity. We are called and we are sent. It's a called and sent Christianity. Along the way, we are challenged about living for God and what we are saved from and what we are set free from. And that's so important. But I'm also saved to a purpose. I'm set free from some things, and I'm set free to fulfill that purpose God had for me that he set in motion before the beginning of time. It's a sobering thought that we're in that purpose right now. Thank you, Jesus. A strategy would be, just put up all that content and let me, I've got to move so fast because I want to give us time just to seek the Lord. I'm using the word education. It's a broad term. First of all, when you choose a church, know what they're teaching. Be informed, involved, and insert yourself as a voice. Wherever your kids go to school, be informed, be involved, and insert yourself as a voice of clarity. We know that the culture that we live in is trying to make disciples of your kids. Strategically, intentionally, constantly. And just one of the discipling pathways of culture is to take your son, your daughter, and disciple them from faith to doubt. Just give you one example. We are trying to disciple people from doubt to faith. A personal faith, a confident faith, and a missional faith. And so, if the context where your kids are, there is some shade thrown on the truth of Scripture about men and women, about right and wrong, insert yourself in their lives as a voice of clarity. Hey, we're fighting for their faith, and we are fighting for their future. I know that many in the room, you have the opportunity of sending your, many of you do, send your kids to Christian school. And I am deeply convicted. We have a school, and I never want to be a school that's Christian in name only. And we have to wake up every day and give ourselves to making sure that we're not just Christian in name, but we are trying to stir up the gifts and lead people to Jesus and make disciples. There were some, during the worship, I noticed we had like six people up here, five graduates of Summit, six graduates of Summit on the platform this morning. I just use that as one example. I just was blessed to see, because every one of them, I know about their homes, and it started at home. But in that situation, we had an opportunity to play a part. So wherever your kids, wherever you have them in school, wherever you think they should be in school, you've prayed that through. Just insert yourself, because even in a Christian school, you just get all the same sins under the name of Christian. Because it's young men and young women. And we've got to be inserted in their lives. We can never delegate discipleship. We can't just defer to the church to figure this all out, or to the Christian school. We've got to be involved every day. I know I'm preaching to the choir, and I thank you. I thank you for how you are involved with your kids. You want some strategy? Like at this church, if there's a retreat, make sure your kid is there. If there's a camp, sign them up. If there's a missions trip, have them on it, because these are places where that personal, confident, missional faith is nurtured. It's the way the church is coming alongside of you to support you in what you're trying to do. I don't want your kid to be forced into some boring program at church. We will work hard at making these spaces and places that are anointed, effective, fun, and life-changing. Come on, let's raise some Daniels in this Nebuchadnezzar world. As the worship team comes, we're just saying, Lord, we want to raise our game in this day and time because we have to. We have to. We have to raise the game, process through these things. Secular discipleship, how do you limit that? What kind of screen policy are you going to have in your home? What kind of digital discipleship are you going to do? How can you surround your kids with spiritual influencers? My kids, all grown, married, and I still think about who I, because I watch the seasons, and I'm like, who do I know that I think would be an incredible voice in their life right now? If I had one of these teenagers, they were my, I would be looking around this room and I would come up to one of these young adults that God leads me to and say, would you spend some time with my son? Speak into his life. I'm looking for the person who can get their attention and who is an example of someone with personal, confident, and missional faith. Hey, I would pay them to do it. That's how important it is. I'm not saying, now he's telling us we've got to come to church every week and pay people to love our kids. I'm never coming back. I'm saying all the investment that we should and we make for our kids, if that's, I would do it in a heartbeat. And then when you start seeing the formation of their call, I would try to put them in places and with people that stir up that gift. People that are farther down the road that are setting a pace. That to walk in that way in your calling would position you to have influence for God out of the gifts God has given you. We can do this. I'm casting vision. If I can help you in any way, you come right to me. We'll talk it out. We'll figure it out. Chart a course. I can recommend some people. I'll recommend those that have the Cash App. All right. Now, let's be really sensitive to how we step into this moment. Let's just put it into practice. Let's turn our hearts to the presence of God. Let God give you wisdom for your kids. Let God give you wisdom for your life. Let's turn our hearts to Jesus. Stand with me, everybody. I said it earlier in the service. I want to say it again. God is faithful in every season. And if there's a struggle, a burden, if there's a passion, I want you to just seek the Lord with that. Just pray, Lord, lead us right now. Lead me in an appropriate challenge and invitation into what you want to do right now. If you don't know Jesus, His grace is available, and a relationship with Him is one prayer away, and it is the wisest, greatest decision you will ever make. He loves you. He is for you. He created you. He has plans for you. Come into a relationship with Him. Repent of your sin. Put your faith in His grace. If you know Jesus, but there could be a greater passion for His presence as you cultivate a personal faith. You say, I've got to give myself to being more confident in my faith, like Daniel. Or you're not on mission. That would you turn to the presence of God out of that need today and say, Lord, I offer myself completely. Thank you, Jesus. And as we start singing, if you would like, we love altar calls. So we ask people, you just step out of your seat and you come down here, and there'll be a whole lot of people. We will be seeking the Lord. You don't have to come down. But something has always happened in my life when I step out of where I was sitting and standing, and I make myself an altar and then say, God, alter my thinking, my heart, my life. So I'm going to make this an opportunity for anybody in this room to come forward, and we just turn ourselves to the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have challenged us with today. Let moms and dads, sons and daughters, Lord, a young man in this room, I just feel in my heart that is trying to figure it out. So much happening in their mind, their heart. Just bless them today and put great people into their world to speak into their life. Bless their mom and dad as they speak into their life. Thank you, Jesus.